rings above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland. As a result of further complications in the mystery of the stolen aeroplane, which was found by John Nettlefold in one of his paddocks, Sergeant Cox sent to Brisbane Police Headquarters for a detective. The commissioner assigned to the case Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte, or Boney as he prefers to be called. He is a half-caste, but he is extremely well-educated and a clever detective. At present, he is in Golden Dawn Police Station, listening to Sergeant Cox's report on the case up to the present date.
Well, Sergeant, your information is very concise and clear. The facts, such as they are, seem quite straightforward.
I'm glad you think so, Boney. I only wish we had a few more clues.
That is only a matter of time now. You can safely leave that to me. You have received a report on the analysis of the brandy, I believe. I refer, of course, to the bottle which was tampered with in the paralyzed girl's room.
Yes, it came yesterday. The analysis showed that the brandy was doctored with approximately 1/4 ounce of strychnine.
Strychnine? We are up against a determined character here.
Yes, it might easily have been a murder case.
That danger, my dear Sergeant, is not averted yet. You have, I suppose, a map of the district?
Yes, there's one on the wall. Here.
Good. Golden Dawn. Ah, here we are. Now, where is Coolabah Station?
Right here. 80 miles along the main road and 24 more down this side road.
I see. And Emu Lake, where the aeroplane was found?
Just here, another 60 miles further on.
That is clear enough. I understand that the people who have seen this girl are yourself, Dr. Knowles, the Coolabah housekeeper, Mrs. Brown, Mr. Nettlefold, and his daughter, Elizabeth.
Yes, that's right.
And not one of you recognized her?
She's a complete stranger to all of us.
At the time of the theft, was there anyone in this district able to fly an aeroplane? That is, apart from Captain Loveacre, his assistant pilot, and Dr. Knowles.
Yes, one other, John Kane, the owner of a station north of Coolabah called Tintaroo. He was in the Royal Air Force during the war, but as far as I know, he hasn't piloted a plane since his return from France.
Where was he the night that the machine was stolen?
He was in Golden Dawn.
And the next night, when the machine was burnt?
At his home in Tintaroo. You may be sure, Boney, I convinced myself he could have had no hand in it. Besides, although he's a fast liver, he's otherwise well respected by everybody. Got tons of money.
It seems obvious to me that there is more than one person concerned. Unless, of course, it is possible for one man to burn the aeroplane and then travel nearly 70 miles to poison the brandy at about 4 in the morning.
Do you think the aeroplane was willfully destroyed?
Yes, I do. Now, tell me about this, Dr. Knowles.
Well, he came here in 1920 from Brisbane. He'd been living there for about a year. He, too, was in the Air Force. In fact, he and John Kane were in the same squadron for some time.
Indeed, that is very interesting.
They met again in Brisbane, and it was due to Kane that Knowles came to practice medicine in Golden Dawn.
I see. There might be some complicity there, and they both know how to fly. What kind of doctor is he?
Well, Knowles is very good. He doesn't get over much work, and yet his fees are reasonable enough. Private income, I think. 5 years ago, he bought his first aeroplane. We expected him to break his neck, but he soon showed us he could fly as well as he could doctor.
Has he any connection with the Medical Air Service?
None at all. We call him the Flying Doctor, but he's no connection with the official service.
He, how shall I put it, likes his whiskey, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he drinks quite a bit. But the effect on him is rather peculiar. He doesn't seem to have the usual effect. If anything, he flies better after a drink or two, and certainly has never given me any trouble.
I wonder what the cause of it.
Oh, I couldn't say that. Probably some disappointment in the past.
Well, where is he now?
In Golden Dawn. He came in this morning from Coolabah.
Then I think I will go and see him. By the way, would Mr. Nettlefold be kind enough to put me up?
Yes, I'm sure he'd be only too pleased. He's very worried just now about that attempt at poisoning. He wanted to have the girl removed to hospital, but Miss Nettlefold wouldn't hear of it.
That's his daughter, of course. What is she like?
Ah, she's a very nice girl. About 26. Came home from the university to look after the old man when she really wanted to go in for science. She told me the other day, well, at least she didn't tell me, she let me guess, But she'd been bored stiff with a dull life at Coolibar and welcomed the job of nursing the girl.
Does she look after her entirely?
Oh, she does the night shift. And the boss stockman roams about the house too as a kind of guard. You see, we're quite expecting another attempt on the girl's life.
Who is this boss stockman?
Ted Sharp. He's a little sweet on Miss Elizabeth, I believe. Although nothing has been definitely said.
Well, Sergeant, the whole case sounds extremely interesting to me. I'm very glad, too, the weather has continued fine. Now, for Dr. Knowles, I will go and see him at once. He will fly me to Coolabah, don't you think?
Of course. I'll take you along to see him now.
Hello, Ted. How's night duty going?
Oh, very uneventful. Anyway, something would happen. I'm just waiting for some bloke to barge into the house during the night.
Oh, what a bloodthirsty wretch you are.
I'm well prepared. Look at this.
Ted, a revolver. I don't think that's necessary.
Oh, you never know.
Ted, where are you sleeping now?
Oh, the usual place, in the stockman's hut.
I think you'd better come up to the house. It would be more convenient.
Oh, no. I know my position, Elizabeth. Oh,
don't be so foolish, Ted.
I work with the stockman, and I prefer to live with them. They'd resent it if I moved up here.
But after all, you're a cut above them.
If there was any Jackaroo's quarters, I'd go there, but not the house.
You talk as if you were some kind of an inferior person, Ted.
Well, I'm only a stockman.
The head stockman, and rather an important member of the station.
Thanks, Elizabeth. You're very kind.
What's the matter, Ted? Why don't you come and talk to me anymore?
I thought you understood.
All I know is that if you're good enough to guard the house, you're good enough to live and eat with us.
But, Elizabeth, I've told you before about my feelings. Being closer to you means only so much more torture.
We'll have to risk that. Anyway, I'm rather fond of you.
Elizabeth.
And now you'll please take your orders from me.
Yes, madam.
You'll please do us the honor of dining with us tonight at 7 o'clock sharp. Oh, hello, Dr. Knowles. When did you arrive?
30 minutes ago, Miss Elizabeth. I flew over and brought the detective with me. Oh, allow me to introduce Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte.
How do you do?
I am charmed to meet you, Miss Nettlefold. It is a pleasure to meet any woman who so nobly gives herself to nursing a complete stranger.
Thank you.
I am a little alarmed about thrusting myself upon you like this. I know the presence of a police officer in the house is always upsetting. I assure you, I will try to give you as little trouble as possible.
What makes you think a police officer's presence is upsetting?
Because my wife always says so. I would like you to see your patient, Miss Nettlefold, as soon as possible. If you would introduce me simply as an acquaintance.
All right, if you really wish it, I will.
Splendid. Will you excuse us, please, Dr. Knowles?
Oh, but of course. I'll go and look for Mr. Nettlefold.
Shall we go upstairs now?
Yes. Come this way, will you?
One moment, Miss Elizabeth. Before we go upstairs, I have one or two questions to ask concerning this poor young lady. I understand you have closely examined her clothing and that you have found on several articles the initials M.M.
Yes, that's right.
Once we have identified your patient, the task of unmasking the person who is conspiring against her life will be accomplished, at least in part. Now, will you please tell me of what quality is the young lady's underwear?
Well, really, I don't see that...
I am 43 years old, Miss Nettlefold, and I have been married 20 years. Believe me, the information I seek is simply for the purpose of establishing the person's identity. Do her clothes lead you to assume that she is, well, high in social circles? Are they expensive, or are they cheap and of poor quality?
Oh, I'd say they've been bought at middle-class shops.
Thank you. You see how no man could answer my question unless he happens to be a draper. A person's outside clothes are not always a true index to his or her social station. Now, if you please, we'll go upstairs.
Well, Dr. Knowles, I'm glad to see you back.
How are you, Mr. Nettlefold?
Fine, thanks. Have you brought the detective with you?
Yes, he's upstairs now, looking at the girl.
What's he like, Knowles? Do you think he knows his job?
Yes, I do. He's a queer bird. Half-caste.
Half-caste, eh? I didn't know there were any half-caste detectives in the force.
Nor did I. But he has a very fine reputation. Never had an unsolved case yet.
Well, that sounds promising. But he's up against a pretty sticky one here.
Well, I haven't talked to him much yet. But he seems to have everyone summed up already. He's very sharp.
I shall be very glad when this is all settled. It's very worrying, you know, trying to run a station with this sort of mystery hanging over it. I'm afraid my reputation may suffer, too.
Well, you've got nothing to hide, have you?
What do you think?
Well, it's not my job to think anything, Mr. Nettlefold. I'm a doctor, you know, not a detective.
Oh, by the way, did you have that brandy analyzed?
Yes.
And what was in it?
Strychnine.
Good heavens.
You see, Mr. Nettlefold, we're up against something pretty big.
Joe, yes. Well, I must have a talk with the detective when he comes downstairs. We'll all be dining together now within a half an hour or so.
All right. I'll go upstairs and change my clothes.
Here she is, Mr. Bonaparte. You have a visitor, dear. He's only trying to find out something about you. Don't worry, we're not going to stay long.
She lies very still, doesn't she?
Is it really necessary to disturb her? She's very tired.
I will speak to her. I am very sorry to see you like this. I am sure now you are a victim of a plot against your life. But take comfort in the fact that many people are trying to do their best for you. What beautiful hair you have. And nice, soft skin. It reminds me of one whom I knew when I was a boy.
Are you nearly finished?
Almost. We will help you all we can to fight against your affliction. Before long, you will again be able to work your typewriter. Ah, I saw a flash of interest light up those pretty eyes of yours. I am beginning to find things out about you already. Au revoir.
Will you go out first, please? I'll shut the door.
No, just 1 minute. Will you go into your dressing room just as you did the night that man entered this room?
What are you going to do?
I am going to ascertain whether that unknown visitor could have reached the stairs before you saw him. I will stand at the bedside table, like this. Now, as soon as I leave, I want you to come out at precisely the same speed as you did that night.
Oh, very well. I'll go into the dressing room now. Ready?
Yes. Now I am at the door.
I say, that was quick. How fast and noiseless his movements are.
Stand quite still, you.
Who are you?
Never mind. Stand quite still. Don't look round.
I would never be so foolish with that revolver in my back.
If you move a fraction of an inch, I'll shoot.
What on earth are you doing?
It seems to me I am about to be shot.
Ted, don't be a fool. Put that revolver away.
Not till I find out who this man is.
I presume you are Ted Shaw.
Keep still.
Oh, Ted, don't be an ass. This is Mr. Bonaparte from Brisbane.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Friend of yours, is he? I apologize.
Believe me, it is nothing. But I should have been very annoyed had you shot me.
This is Inspector Bonaparte, Mr. Sharp.
Oh, a new rabbit inspector.
No, of course not. Mr. Bonaparte is a detective inspector.
You don't say. Now, if I had plugged you just
then... As I said, I should have been annoyed. And then there is the carpet.
I thought you were up to no good, backing along the corridor like that.
I was merely carrying out a little experiment. I wished to see if it was possible for a man to reach the hall before Miss Nettlefold could open the sick room door.
Apparently he could then.
Yes, in fact he did.
But why the experiment?
I wished to prove that it was not Dr. Knowles. If it had been, he would have gone to his bedroom, which I understand is further down the passage.
But surely, Mr. Bonaparte...
I do wish you would call me Boney.
Surely you didn't suspect Dr. Knowles.
My dear Miss Nettlefold, until I have proof to the contrary, I suspect everyone.
Everyone?
Yes, Mr. Sharp, everyone.